Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Lakers and the 76ers, they are winless to start the season. So we assess the changes needed for both teams to turn their seasons around. Plus, we do have an update on Zion Williamson's injury from last night. When can we expect him and Brandon Ingram back on the court? Andrew Lopez has the latest. And the commissioner, Adam Silver, he joins the show live. We ask him what his thoughts are regarding teams tanking for Victor Wembanyama. NBA Today starts right now.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel. I'm Malika Andrews, and I love this female energy that we got in here. Chinne Agumake, Ramona Shelburne. We do have Kendrick Perkins stopping by here shortly. It was an incredible first weekend of games. I mean, I felt like I was just constantly changing the channel. Lead pass was in overtime because there was so much going on. But it feels like we need to start across the street right here with the Los Angeles Lakers because they just couldn't quite get it done. Roll the highlight, please, Director Kathy, and let's see how it went down. Did I do that okay?
Yeah, it was perfect. Okay, roll me the highlight, baby.
I like the rhyme there. All right, we pick it up with the Los Angeles Lakers finding Patrick Beverley in the corner. Can't quite get it to go. Bats it out for the long rebound. LeBron James, he's added this to his bag lately.
That was very far.
Yeah, it was, that was very, very deep.
He's just out there with Dame Lillard, thought, you know, why not? Dame makes these, I can do it.
Exactly. Shake it off, keep it pushing. Watch Anthony Davis here. Yusuf Nurkic sags off him. Can't make that shot. And then ahead to the fourth quarter we go. This is where things got really interesting. Peep the time and the score. Russell Westbrook can't quite get it to go. We're going to get more into that play in just a little bit. Timeout here. This is what Dame Lillard does. It was Dame time in crypto.com. I know he's retired the celebration mostly, but he pulled out the watch last night. Once again, down by two, the Lakers. LeBron James, you can't make it that easy on him, Ramona.
Yeah, I mean, the lane was wide open, but it's not necessarily the lane was open. It was who was not on the court for these last two.
Very good point. Jeremy Grant puts the Blazers up once again by two. The Lakers, they're going to have one more chance here. LeBron James over Dame Lillard gets the mismatch. Ooh, couldn't quite get it to fall. Let's take a listen to the Lakers after the game.
From day one, I said, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make us successful. Shoot around, film, rotations, lineups. We don't have time for feelings or people to be in their feelings. Like, we're trying to turn this thing around.
I can tell that you guys are in the whole Russell Westbrook category right now. I don't like to lose. I hate to lose at any – I don't care what happens throughout the course of my season or throughout the course of my career. I hate to lose, and you guys can write about Russ and all the things you guys want to try to talk about Russ, but I'm not up here to do that. I won't do it. I've said it over and over. That is not my – it's not who I am, so.
All right, so there's a lot to discuss here. Chinne, can you break this down just a little bit for us, particularly this notion that Russell Westbrook was attempting to go for the two-for-one late?
Yeah, look, what the Lakers said was that this was a two-for-one scenario, which means you're trying to take a quick shot so that you own the final possession of a quarter or even, in this instance, a game. And also with two-for-ones, you get two offensive possessions instead of one. But when you are up one with 30 seconds to go, it's all about shot selection, Malika. Mm-hmm. And Ramona reminded me this. Coach Darvinham, after the game, said that the strategy was, with Yusuf Nurkic, a center guarding Russ, what you have to do if you're Russ is attack that matchup. You cannot settle and take the shot that the opponent has been daring you to take all game long. So let's look at the tape.
Yes, please.
See exactly what happened on this possession. So look, Russ is bringing it up. Time and score. They're up one. 33 seconds left. 21 seconds of the shot clock. Even Pat Bev knows with this brush screen right here that, hey, we want you to attack this matchup with the center here and not settle for the jump shot. What happens here? He sort of does what he did all game, sort of like dare the shot. He was like, look at this. I think his teammates even knew, look at AD, look at LeBron. What's happening here? You don't want to settle for that with the game on the line. And that, unfortunately, is exactly what happened in that possession. At the end of the day, the Lakers, their shot selection really needs to improve. But also so does their overall three-point shooting, because look at the numbers right here. Through three games, the Lakers, they've shot the worst three-point percentage in NBA history. So it's not just Russ, but unfortunately, Russell Westbrook does represent all of the issues that the Lakers have, particularly with shooting. And we saw this happen in just one possession.
Interesting. So I guess when I think of, I was at the game yesterday, Ramona, we sat next to each other, we were chatting. When I looked at what happened late, it reminded me of what the Clippers executed with Russell Westbrook as well, with having Zubat sag off of him a little bit. So the natural question, right, is where do we go from here?
Well, when you're walking around that locker room post-game yesterday, you get the sense that things need to change rather quickly in L.A., and whether that is Russell Westbrook coming off the bench, whether that is not being in closing lineups. I mean, Frank Vogel took months to pull Russell Westbrook out of the closing lineup last year. Took Darvin Ham 3 games. He was not on the court for the final three possessions after these situations here. And part of this is Darvin Ham is giving Russell Westbrook every opportunity to play the way that they had talked about over the summer, attacking the rim, setting more screens, hitting open shots if they're given to him. It's not working out right now.
Yeah.
It just isn't. And the Lakers were up 8 when they subbed him back into the game with a little under 5 minutes to go. Portland outscored them by 10. 14-4 down the stretch. In the last two possessions, he goes 2-for-1, doesn't attack the rim. That is something that Darvin Ham didn't say anything postgame that he hasn't said privately to Russell Westbrook. He said, you need to attack the rim when the center's daring you to shoot the ball. You took the shot that they are daring you to take. Attack the rim. And you get the sense that something is going to have to change in the next few games here, or they're going to look up and be 0-6.
Right. They could fall into a serious hole here. So something may, in fact, have to change. Let's bring in Kendrick Perkins. Perk, I'm curious your thoughts. What exactly needs to change?
Everything. And that wasn't a 2-for-1 situation. I mean, you're up 1 point. At that time, you're thinking about getting a great shot, a great look at the rim, and hanging your hat on the defensive side and getting a stop. Even if Portland do have the last position, you're actually winning the game. But I'm looking at the overall picture, right? And I look at the body language of LeBron James and Anthony Davis when Russell Westbrook took that shot. See, this is the problem, right? Now all of a sudden it is starting to creep in. Now all of a sudden you hear Darvin Ham saying, we don't have time for people being in their feelings, because he could feel the energy when Russell Westbrook wasn't in the game. He could feel the energy that's around the locker room right now. And the solution of the problem is, I hate to say it, is you have to send him home until you find another destination for Russell Westbrook. Because in my opinion, I strongly believe that if Russell Westbrook wasn't on the floor, or if he played last night, the Lakers would have won that basketball game. So now Darvin Ham, this is his time, right, as the head coach, to put his prints, his fingerprints all over this situation and say, you know what, I'm going to address this and I'm going to do what's best for the team. Because you don't want to lose your just because of one individual.
Well, Ramona, it sounds a little bit like what you're saying as well. What are you looking at when you're talking about this may be the time? What is the one thing you're keeping an eye on as they embark on this road trip?
So Darvin Ham has given Russell a lot of opportunities, right? He gave him the respect of starting on opening night, gave him the respect of starting on the home opener, has not, in the third game, pulled him from that closing lineup. Okay, so that was consequences. But as Perk said, you have to be careful not to lose the rest of the team. The Lakers have teams that have played 3 games, okay, very small sample size. They have the best defense in the league of teams that have played 3 games so far. They're buying in on the defensive side of the ball. But if you alienate the rest of your team by not making moves that need to be made, then you risk losing that effort that they have shown so far on the defensive end of the ball. And I think we're getting closer to that point than we were, I think, that anybody anticipated this quickly.
Right. Denver, Minnesota, their schedule does not get easier from here. Let's shift from one winless team to another. The Sixers, they lost to the Spurs Saturday night despite a 40-piece from Joel Embiid. Philadelphia is now 0-for-3 for the first time since 2016-17. And after the game, Doc Rivers, he kept it real about his team. Take a listen.
I've been through these, and we're not ready yet. Honestly, we're just not. We're not ready to win yet. You can feel that. And so we got a lot of work to do. It was almost like we played these first two games hard, competed, and then felt like, okay, now we can win some games. You still got to go out during the game. You know, Tuck was yelling that after the game, and he was right. You know, no one's just going to give you a win. You know, you have to go get it, and you have to do it a lot every night. You can't pick and choose when we're going to show up right now, and that's what we're doing.
Ramona, you've spent a lot of time covering the 76ers. What are you diagnosing them with here?
Well, they look like they're trading off. Like, one time it's James's team, and the other time it's Joe's team. They're not necessarily in sync yet. Mm. And some of when you saw Embiid had 40 the other night, he looked good. The night before, he looked a little, didn't quite look like himself. He's been dealing with some plantar fasciitis. It's not a serious case of anything, but it affected the way he ramped up for the season, affected his conditioning a bit. And so he's still kind of getting his wind in the early part of the season, which is fine. You got 82 games, but this, I mean, that game, especially against the Bucks, you saw that show up a little bit. But I think the other thing that's underrated about, look at how fast that teams are sending double and triple teams at Joel. They're doing it instantaneously.
Today is in on that.
I mean, like, they are daring them to play Harden ball.
Yeah.
Other teams are saying, we're not going to let Joel Embiid beat us. We're sending two and three defenders at him right away. Give the ball to James Harden, we'd rather him beat us.
Yeah, and speaking on a couple of your points, plantar fascia is no joke. It might seem like, oh, it's something in your foot that really makes it really annoying for you. Like, you can't move, you can't condition, you can't train the same way when you have plantar fascia, even though it may seem like it's a lower grade type of thing when we think about the big scale of injuries. Also, with Joel Embiid, yeah, I think people are starting to respect him in a way that it's like the upper echelon of the NBA defensively. He gets those double teams when the game, when the ball is tipped off and everyone knows they want to get him going. Those double teams are becoming triple teams off the bat.
Real quick.
And so, you know, navigating out of that, that's going to be a good point for him, because last year I believe he had a career high in assists. He's going to need to get back to that for them to be more successful. And then lastly, I think you have now a James Harden that is better. Not saying that this is vintage James Harden, but you have a James Harden that is better. You have a Tyrese Maxey that is ascending, and you have a Joel Embiid that is a MVP candidate for the third year in a row, which is what he's probably likely going to do this season. When you have those three, it's not going to be easy to navigate when I'm James Harden, when I should cook. Tyrese, how do we give him, someone that's super dynamic, the floor to be his best self? And then lastly, get Joel going, because he is the bread and butter of our franchise.
Right. And Kendrick Perkins, you gave Doc Rivers, it was so good. I was hyped after your pep talk last week. What happened?
Well, it's not Doc Rivers that I should have gave the pep talk to. It's more so the Philadelphia 76ers, the team, right? Like, it's a team sport, and I've been seeing too much individual basketball. Dr. Rivers used to always tell us, lose yourself in the team, and that's what they do. It's not about, oh, James Harden been looking good, and he's been dribbling the air out the basketball, or Joel, he had a 40-piece wing, he finally hitting his stride, or how we're going to get Tobias Harris going, or how you going to get Tyrese Maxey going. No, it's how you're going to get the team going. And until they figure that out and start to sacrifice within the locker room and start to police themselves, then they're going to continue to struggle. So I shouldn't have gave that pep talk to Doc. It should have been more so on the team itself and those guys that are in the locker room and have to get minds.
Well, I can think of a couple guys that didn't look like they needed your pep talk. Donovan Mitchell was certainly one of them. Perks still to come on NBA Today. Yeah, Luka Doncic and Donovan Mitchell, they went off last night. So Perk and Janae break down their impressive starts to the season. Plus, our Pelicans reporter, Andrew Lopez, he has the latest on Zion Williamson's hip injury and the concern level for the Pelicans if he were to miss any
time. Just
Also, we're just minutes away from Commissioner Adam Silver joining the show. We ask him about the potential expansion team in Las Vegas. All of that and more. We will be right back.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NBA Today is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel. Let's do a little coast-to-coast around the association. There was so much good action. We're going to start with Luka Doncic and the Mavs. They beat the Grizzlies by 41 points on Saturday. It was the team's largest victory in series history. Perk, are you concerned here?
No, I'm not concerned. They was coming off a back-to-back. And, you know, it was, look, Dallas was over there waiting for them, their home opener. I'm not concerned about the Memphis Grizzlies, but I tell you this, in shape Luka, skinny Luka, looks great right now. I'll tell you that much.
Skinny Luka.
Sounds like a drink.
Not skinny, skinty.
Not to mention Christian Wood. I think that this is going to be interesting, but can't get too worried about the dark side. All right, we'll carry on then. Moving on, the Cavs. They won in overtime against the Wizards, and Donovan Mitchell scored 37 points, becoming the third player in NBA history to score 30 in each of his first three games with the team. Chinee, how impressed are you by his start?
Oh, he's making a statement. I love this for Donovan Mitchell, more so for the Cavs overall, because the big question was, how is he going to acclimate to a system that has a couple true posts? Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. Well, the answer is just fine. He's doing just fine. He's balling. I think this is a team that should be expected to finish top five in the East. They're going to go through some growing pains, but with Donovan Mitchell coming with this output, 2-1 to start, Cavs feel like this is the time to believe again in the land.
Believe again. I'ma still wear a smile if it's raining.
We're done.
All right, the Pelicans, they lost both Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson to injuries on Sunday in a one-point overtime loss to the Jazz. Zion took a hard fall with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, while Ingram had a head injury and was evaluated for concussion-like symptoms. So I'd like to bring in now our Pelicans reporter, Andrew Lopez. Andrew, thank you so much for stopping by the show. Let's start where we just mentioned with both Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. Let's start with Zion. What can you tell us about his injury?
Well, it does appear that he has avoided a major injury. Pelicans coach Willie Green told us that he is going to list Zion as questionable for Tuesday's game against the Dallas Mavericks. You saw the fall. It was nasty. It does just appear to be a posterior hip contusion. You can figure out what that means, but it does appear that Zion won't miss much time, if any at all.
All right, not going to miss much time, if any. That is good news. Pelicans fans are heaving a sigh of relief here. What's the latest you're hearing on B.I.'s head injury, though?
Yeah, so Brandon left the game with that head injury. Mm-hmm. They were treating him or evaluating him for concussion-like symptoms. However, as of today, Pelicans coach Willie Green told us Brandon Ingram is not in concussion protocol. He is also questionable for tomorrow's game against the Mavericks.
Andrew Lopez, thank you so much for your reporting. We will check back in with you as this continues to progress. Again, both men listed as questionable. Thank you, Andrew. Here's the upcoming schedule for the Pelicans. It's a tough five-game stretch, so they're hoping they can stay healthy. They face the Mavs, the Suns, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Warriors. We'll have Friday's game against Phoenix on ESPN. Let's shift gears, though, here, because the Pelicans, they lost to someone interesting last night. Coming into the season, after trading away Donovan Mitchell, after trading away Rudy Gobert, a lot of experts had Utah toward the bottom of the league. But now, all of a sudden, they're off to a 3-0 start with wins over the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Pelicans. Is this the biggest surprise of the season so far?
So far? I mean, I think everybody was thinking they were in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes.
Yeah, and they still have time to be.
You know, look, Lauri Markkanen has been a star so far. And there's something to be said for having a group of veterans who were not necessarily given the keys to the team. This was Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert's team.
Yeah.
The last few years. And now, all of a sudden, Jordan Clarkson, Kelly Olynyk, who they just traded for, Lauri Markkanen, who they just traded for. These were guys that were thrown into deals that are getting an opportunity to thrive. And somebody cautioned me before the season, if this Jazz team, which has a lot of players that teams would covet in trades, if they get off to a good start, this is a town that has seen its team go to the playoffs the last few years. It's a quick adjustment to going into a rebuilding mode. If this team gets off to a good start, don't be surprised if they hang on to some of these veterans for a while. They don't need to be in any hurry to start this rebuild when you have a team that's playing as well as this.
Yeah, and when you think about the Jazz the last few years, there still is an innate culture that was bigger than their two stars. Defensively, they had each other's back. Offensively, they shot the three better than most teams. Weren't there some crazy numbers offensively for what the Jazz have done? Like number one in points, number two and something like that. Like
they assists,
thank
number
you.
One in points, number two in assists.
Thank you. All those, you know, stats go to the culture and the mindset of, you know, veterans like Jordan Clarkson coming back saying, like, this is Utah basketball. I've known Kelly Olynyk since I was in college. We both were at the Wooden Ward. I want it, yay. But my point is just, there are a lot of... But, like, these guys are solid basketball minds. There's a reason why you fought for him, you know, if you're Utah, to come on the team, because he's someone that is competitive. And I just love this storyline. Now, mind you, the L Club for V-Dub, I don't know if that's, like, where you thought you were going to be. Like, oh, are we bettering our chances? But it's always worth it. It's always worth it when you have veterans playing with a purpose, because that means no matter what happens in the future, you have a culture that you can always plug and play with.
Well, and that's the interesting question, Ramona. The experts on Twitter, right? There's this divide over whether or not people are very concerned with Utah getting off to this start when they may end up taking the future. And then there are others that are like, okay, just let them play. Where do you fall on this?
Look, I think the NBA is a better place when everybody's playing, okay? And I think when you mess with the basketball gods and outright tank, unintended consequences not always are good for your franchise. And it was stressed to me, if Utah gets off to a good start, this is a town and a crowd that is used to having a good team here, they're going to let those veterans play.
Yeah.
They're going to let them play. They don't need to do this in November or December or January. If they're playing well, let them play. Let them go. Lauri Markkanen was the number 7 overall pick in the draft a while back. He's a lottery pick who, when he this summer in Eurobasket, he was great for the Finnish team.
Yep.
Put him in a role like this, allow him a chance to shine, see where they are in 20 games.
Perk, how are you digesting what the Jazz are doing?
Well, I just want to give a shout-out to my brother Danny Ainge, D.A., right, who's overseeing this whole thing, right? Like, they already got, what, 1,000 or 1,500 draft picks this offseason? And look, he put together some vets. And the whole thing about Danny Ainge is he always wanted to give guys an opportunity to show what they're capable of doing. And he got a mixture of vets along with young guys and a young head coach, right, that's just playing hard and they're going out there eating. They beat the Nuggets. They beat the Timberwolves. They beat the Pelicans. All three of those teams we consider to be playoff teams this year. So the way that DA has constructed and the culture, right, that's the culture that you want to have, the great energy, the playing hard, the winning basketball, and let the chips fall where they may. And I shout out to Ramona for talking about the basketball guards, because you can't never disrespect them. So, you know, I just wanted to give a special shout out to Danny Ainge on that one.
A special shout out to Ramona.
Hey, I'll take it.
I love it. All right, coming up on NBA Today, we are also going to preview the games that are going down tonight. Personally, I think I'm most excited for Nets Grizzlies. That's coming up on the other side.
I know why.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, you never know what will happen when you watch the NBA in Stephen A's world. You might see something that leaves me flabbergasted. Maybe something that makes me utterly disgusted. Either way, you're gonna have a good time. I can promise you that. Don't miss NBA in Stephen A's world. Now, excuse me. I gotta get back to Wilbon. He can't stay frozen for this long, or he gets cranky.
Love it. NBA and Stephen A's World debuts Wednesday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ESPN2. Do not miss Stephen A and celebrity guests watching Giannis and the Bucks take on Kevin Durant and the Nets. This week's NBA Wednesday doubleheader, it starts in Milwaukee at 7:30 Eastern with the Nets taking on the Bucks, and then the Nuggets, they host LeBron and the Lakers. Our coverage tips off with NBA Countdown at 7 on ESPN and the app. Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Janae, Perk, Ramona still with us. So the Grizzlies, the Nets, they headline tonight's slate of action. Memphis hasn't lost to Brooklyn since drafting Ja Morant. Oh, Katie was asked this morning, I know, right, about G12 and what makes him so special.
He's a unique player, a lot of athleticism and creativity out there. Body type reminds you of somebody like a, well, he's taller than AI, but, you know, wiry, strong player. But he's an incredible player, man, just doing some stuff that we've never seen before. I mean, all these guys are one-on-ones, you know what I'm saying? You've seen, I mean, I've been in the league with D. Rose and Russell, Westbrooks, and, so many athletic guards I'm missing, but those two come and stick out the most to me. And, you know, the stuff they were doing was unheard of. I mean, you see another guy's doing the same thing. I'm sure he's inspired by those two as well. So, you know, the league's in a great place.
Some high praise there from Durant. Perk, do you expect Ja and the Grizzlies to bounce back from their loss to Dallas or the Nets to get their second straight win here?
What? Look, the one thing, you heard what Ja said, right? It don't matter who's on the floor with him. He's coming to go out there and he want all the smoke. Here's the thing, right? When you think about them going home, They have developed a winning atmosphere out there in Memphis that it's hard for visiting teams to go in there and win. The role players play better at home. I expect to have an impact on this game, yep, along with Brandon Clark. But what is then Desmond Baines? Desmond Baines is the guy right now with Dillon Brooks being out and
Jaren Jackson Jr.,
right, Jaren Jackson Jr. I expect more out of him. Ja's going to be Ja. Ja's going to bounce back. He's been hearing all of Luka talk about. Luka gave him that work, and he will be in route for him tonight. And I will be having my feet kicked up with my toes doing this, watching the movie.
Do we have to see your toes?
Why? We don't need the visual.
That
going on the gram?
Since you were talking about Desmond Bane, Perk, Janae, what player are you watching?
I'm sorry. I can't get that image out of my head.
Oh, God.
Okay, who am I going to be watching?
We're going to get pedicures as a group this weekend.
You wild, bro. You wild. I think we know at this point that Ja Morant gets up for big matchups. Yeah. We saw him drop 49, but then we saw them, you know, take a loss. But when we see these big matchups, typically Ja actually takes a backseat to his team, and that's what facilitates wins. That's why he's always won in this matchup. So that being said, I'm going to go with Kyrie Irving. He finally got the ball moving, hitting. We saw him in his bag. I think last time out he had 30 points. And so that is the point guard matchup to watch, to see. We all know that Kevin Durant is going to show up, and he's going to provide, you know, consistency and efficiency. But Kyrie Irving coming off of a 30-point game where they beat a very scrappy and very talented overachieving Toronto Raptors team. I know Toronto's going to be mad that I said they're overachieving, but they is what they is. I like this idea of Kyrie and Ja and that head-to-head.
All right. Perk, keep your toes put away. Let's move on to the only player averaging more points per game than Ja Morant. It's Jason Tatum. He leads the undefeated Celtics into Chicago to take on the Bulls. So, Ramona, let's start with you here. What are you watching in this game?
First of all, Jason Tatum, Dame Lillard, just named Players of the Week.
There you go.
Jason Tatum wants to be the best player in the NBA.
We're kind of in Celtics and Blazers.
Right?
Sorry, I just realized.
Yeah, no, I did that very unintentionally. It was just green to that. I don't know. Yeah. I was trying to get a pop of color.
I like it.
Jason Tatum wants to be the best player in the NBA, and I was talking to his longtime trainer, Drew Hanlon, the other day, and he's out in Chicago with him, and he said, you know, that series last year in the finals, that was a seminal kind of moment for Jason to say, like, they were so close, and I said, does it remind you a little of Kobe against the Utah Jazz early in his career where they didn't get it done, but that set the tone for him and that motivation going forward in his career? And he goes, exactly. I mean, Jason has worked on that floater. He's got a better assist game now. He's seeing the floor better. And I think that defense, even without Robert Williams, 11 blocks the other night against the Heat. I mean, this whole team, I thought with what they went through in the offseason with the situation with Udoka, I thought they would have a little growing pains here.
Yeah.
Nope. right back out of the gates.
And now he's catapulted to the third best odds for MVP. I think before he was like around 6 or 7. Now it's 3. I'm assuming, and we can fact check with our producer Cesar, I'm assuming it's behind Giannis and Luka. And so I love this idea that the Celtics, they're professionals, they're figuring themselves out. They built on their confidence. And Tatum absolutely will be in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, and he should be. Perk, what has impressed you most about the start that the Celtics have gotten off to here?
Well, how they're not satisfied, right? They have unfinished business.
Good
and
point.
You could just see after they wins, you see Jason Tatum after his when he's doing his post-game interview, he's not smiling. Like, he's like, no, we're on the mission. And the mission is not to make the All-Star team or All-NBA or even win the MVP, which is hell of a goal. This team, you know, they got a chance to taste the blood last season when they went to the finals, and they want to get back and they want to complete the mission. So I see a team that's playing the gender-free basketball. I see two rising young stars in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, whose leadership and growth has matured in just a short period of time, and they're on a mission right now.
Not to mention, it is Jaylen Brown's birthday.
Happy birthday, JB!
I imagine that coming in and getting a win, that's what he's looking for tonight. All right, coming up on NBA Today, Commissioner Adam Silver, he is joining the show and talking about potential expansion teams and more. That's next. NBA Today will be back after the break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Welcome back to NBA Today. We are joined now by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Adam, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today.
Of course.
The games, they've been so much fun. They've been so great. They've been so fun to watch. We have a myriad of topics to get to today. So let's start here with ESPN's Baxter Holmes reporting that in a recent meeting with Phoenix Suns employees, you addressed possible solutions for tanking, reportedly saying we put teams on notice, and particularly this season ahead of Victor Wembanyama entering the draft. So what are the specific measures, the notices you're considering to prevent teams from tanking this season?
Well, let me just say, of course, that's not the reason I was in Phoenix talking to their staff. Mm. But, you know, after we talked about the situation there, I think I got some general questions about what was happening in the league. And so this whole notion of tanking came up. Nothing new in the league. And in fact, you know, as you know, Malika, shortly before the pandemic, you know, roughly 2019, we had changed the lottery odds yet once again. Not that I can say that we knew that Victor Wembanyama was coming precisely at this time, but we lowered the odds really essentially for the first top, the worst three teams in the league, and then for the fourth team only has a slightly better odds. So it's roughly around a 14% chance. Mm. So said differently, if you have the worst record or one of the worst records in the league, you have an 86% chance of not getting the top pick. So I think that's first and foremost one of the most important measures we've taken. And then on the flip side, we added the play-in tournament. And the idea of the play-in tournament is that if your team that starts slow or has an injury beginning early on in the season, that it's not worth throwing in the towel on the season because you can come back and actually make the playoffs. Mm. So those are the things we've done. I mentioned, and Baxter Holmes reported it, some other areas that we've looked at over the years. I can't say I was deadly serious about talking about relegation because we don't have the same system as European soccer, and it would make no sense to send an NBA team to the G League or the G League team up to the NBA. But obviously that's how other leagues deal with situations like this, where they force teams to stay competitive because the consequences of finishing at the bottom of the league are dramatically detrimental to the health of the team. But it's something, as I was saying to the folks there in Phoenix, that we keep our eye on. I mean, obviously we understand we're selling competition to our fans, and it doesn't mean that rebuilding isn't appropriate for certain teams. But I view tanking, I know the way in which you're saying it, but certainly if we thought that players on the floor, there was anything happening in an organization that meant that a team was intentionally losing games, I view that very differently than an organization that is truly rebuilding, recognizing that they're going to need to restock with great talent in order to improve.
But with a once-in-a-generation player like Victor being slated to come into the league, have you reminded teams, had heightened conversations yet?
In a general way, we have. I mean, I think everyone understands that. As I said, I think most importantly, you're dealing with a 14% chance of getting the first pick. So teams understand that. I agree. I was listening to part of the show from Ramona and Kendrick before I came on, talking about the basketball gods. I'm in that camp, too. I recognize at the end of the day, analytics are what they are, and it's not about superstition. 14% chance arguably is better than 1% chance or no percent chance. But as I said, it doesn't. Even in terms of the straightforward odds, it doesn't benefit a team to be the absolute worst in the league. And even if you're one of the poor performing teams, you're still dealing with a 14% chance. But I think it's one of these things, there's no perfect solution, but we still think a draft is the right way to rebuild your league over time. We still think it makes sense among partner teams. Actually, a decision is made that the worst performing teams are in a position to restock with the prospects of the best players coming in. So we haven't come up with a better system.
Let's talk expansion. Earlier this month, LeBron had this to say when he was asked about an NBA team coming to Vegas.
I would love to bring a team here at some point. That would be amazing. And I know Adam is in Abu Dhabi right now, I believe, but he probably sees every single interview and transcript that comes through from NBA players. So I want the team here, Adam. Thank you.
What's your response to LeBron here?
You know, he was right that even in Abu Dhabi, the news traveled quickly, you know, that he called me out. I mean, I'd say in all seriousness, I think it's very healthy for the league when you have this life cycle of players then moving into management, potentially moving into ownership. Obviously, Michael Jordan is the owner of Charlotte, David Robinson, San Antonio, Grant Hill in Atlanta, Shaq owned a piece of Sacramento for a while. So I think it's great for the ecosystem. I'm thrilled that LeBron aspires to be an NBA team owner one day. I'd say Las Vegas specifically, you know, will make a great location for a franchise one day. We have a WNBA team there, the Aces, that obviously just won the championship. It's not on the front burner right now for the league. I think we've been very public about the fact we want to get through collective bargaining. We want to see where our new media deals come out. But then we'll turn back to expansion at some point.
Prior to the start of the season, Adam, a video was leaked of Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole at practice. When do altercations that are internal and between players rise to the league's purview?
I mean, everything rises to our purview. Obviously, you know, we pay a lot of attention to what goes on at teams, and we had heard there was an altercation before the video had leaked. I would say in the first instance, when it's an internal team matter, we leave it to the team to handle. It doesn't mean we're not aware of how they're handling it. We have direct conversations with management of the teams. But if there's no reason to believe that it's not handled appropriately, meaning we're talking directly to the players' association, representative of the players, and nobody's indicating that they feel a proper process isn't being followed, we would generally tend to be deferential. I mean, I've been around the league for a long time, so there are always special cases. There's reasons why we might become involved in a particular case. But I would say in this situation with the Warriors, enormous confidence in that franchise. So didn't see a reason for us to get directly involved.
Shifting gears here, Brittany Griner remains detained in Russia. And in May, you told me that the league has a, quote, huge responsibility to Brittany, but that you were advised by experts not to take a higher profile in voicing public support for her. So what's the NBA's role now?
That was, as you said, back in May and even earlier when she was first imprisoned. As I said then, we were advised by experts, by the U.S. government, that it was not in her interest to raise the profile of her incarceration beyond where it was because they thought it would reduce the chances of her getting out. I think then May came, and then beyond that, clearly we shifted gears and have been, you know, very public about our belief that she's deserves to be released at this point, even to the extent that she was convicted of a minor crime, that any punishment at this point is dramatically disproportionate. There should be mercy, of course, for anyone in her position. And we've had direct conversations with the White House, with the State Department. You heard opening night, Steph Curry, you know, spoke out about her incarceration. I'll be quite honest, we're doing everything we know available to us at this point, which is to continue to raise her profile and have direct conversations with the U.S. government at all levels. But beyond that, it's frustrating for everyone. It's enormously frustrating for her family. I'm not sure what else we could be doing right now.
And Brittany Griner, of course, will be back in court on Tuesday. Finally, Adam, you mentioned that you were in Phoenix for a different reason. And over the last several months, we've seen instances of misconduct, of harassment, of unprofessional behavior within NBA staffs and front offices. And Baxter Holmes reported that you told Phoenix Suns employees that the league would create new reporting systems for team employees to report any wrongdoing. So what exactly are you planning to implement, and why now?
Well, I mean, why now? I don't think it's just the situation in Phoenix. As you've pointed out, there are issues in workplaces. These are not unique problems to the NBA or the WNBA or any of our other leagues for that matter, but it's clear that we need to do a better job. Part of what I was saying to the Phoenix staff was that we did put in place additional procedures in 2019, namely, for example, the league-wide anonymous hotline to call in issues. I recognize, as I said to employees in Phoenix, that that's not a cure-all, and I could understand in any workplace, NBA or anywhere, in any company, that there might not be complete confidence in the confidentiality of a system like that, even though I think, you know, we use a third party, we follow all the appropriate measures here to ensure that. But then the question becomes, what can we do beyond that? One of the things we've begun doing this year is having direct conversations with the human resources groups at every team to ensure that proper training is in place, that teams can have their own systems of hotlines and things, even independent of what the league does, talking about these issues regularly with our board of governors, who ultimately oversee all our teams, bring heightened attention to issues around diversity and inclusion. And our teams, part of that is being true to the data, continuously talking about what we're seeing at our teams in terms of hiring practices, who is in positions of leadership. So our goal is to operate under best practices, not uniquely to the NBA or for a sports league, but for whatever best of classes in industries. And that's something that we're learning about all the time. We have professionals focused on it, including, by the way, one of the things I talked about in Phoenix was bringing in facilitators for organizations to help people deal with conflict and stress and difficult conversations and issues that do tend to come up in workplaces. I'd say some of those issues are magnified in a workplace like you have in the NBA, where people are working often at nights, on weekends, traveling a lot under high stress conditions. So, as I said, we hope to be an exemplar for society at large, and also we understand that there are going to be issues, and part of what we should be judged on is how we handle them when they do come up.
Yeah, and to me, you know, when you speak about the tip line and putting that into place, I think the investigation with the Suns, right, when they looked into Robert Sarver and the findings came out, the Suns noted that no one really called that tip line to report improper behavior. So adding something else that might not be seen as a mechanism that puts the onus on informants rather than creating checks and balances, is that what you're looking to avoid here?
Yeah, in part, I'll add that, you know, what you're calling the tip line was a relatively recent measure, and the investigation of the Suns went back almost 20 years.
Yeah.
So I'd say if you look at the progression of what's happened in our workplaces, probably similar to what you see in other industries, the practices that are now in place were not there historically. So, again, I recognize, though, that there's no perfect system. And again, I can understand if I worked in any organization, being told by management, call this number and don't worry, we'll take care of things. That's not going to work for everybody. And I think there's no substitute for preventing these issues from happening in the first place, as opposed to reporting them after the fact. And I think a lot of that goes to proper training in the workplace, and not just training, new employees that come in, but it's also regular training of current employees. I'm sure you guys do the same thing at ESPN. It's also the frequency of the training, the constant reminders. No different if you go into, it's interesting when you were talking about tipping, I was thinking the signs that you see in NBA locker rooms and things, constantly reminders to players about rules and procedures that need to be followed in the league. I think with anything I've learned, you need to talk about these issues regularly, and repetition becomes critically important. So it's not a one-time training, a check-the-box sort of notion, and everybody goes back to what they're doing. Constant reminders and thinking of better ways to communicate with employees.
Adam, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on NBA Today. I look forward to seeing you at games and back on the show in the future.
Thanks, Malika.
NBA Today, we'll be right back.
NBA Today is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
Our Friday NBA doubleheader has the Pacers taking on the Wizards in D.C. at 7:30 Eastern. Then the nightcap, the Pelicans, they face the Suns in Phoenix. Oh, yeah. We have a Tyrese Haliburton stopping by later this week to preview that game. So that's going to be fun. All right. We have our first full weekend slate of the NBA. So let's run it back with a little top of the top first weekend edition. Oh, we got Giannis first.
Against my Rockets.
I'm sorry.
People are having a field day on my squad.
Ooh.
What?
What is it, a 49-piece wing chicken? What would Perk say?
Yeah, 49-piece.
Spicy
Cajun rub.
My
28
goodness.
Minutes.
I mean, and as you mentioned, already up there in the MVP odds. Let's keep it pushing. Trae Young, the Hawks, they're taking on the Orlando Magic.
Oh, my gosh.
Ice cold. How do you do
that? The balance. Brr. Yeah, the balance. That sounded like a bird, not the cold. But, from behind the backboard, that's just Trae.
Incredible. All right, what do we got next? So that was late game heroics. And now, oh no, we got a too small happening.
Oh, JB, happy birthday, JB.
Over Bam
Adebayo.
He went with the too small.
That is a mismatch. I like that.
Hey, sometimes you got to let him know, because if you don't let him know, no one else is going to give you your flowers. But then, Tyler Hero.
Okay, double clutch. I'm here for this. And then him, I love that. I love it when people are on the floor, still flexing.
I feel like that's when you kind of...
Tough finish.
Do
yeah.
a little with that. All right. Whoa. And next in top of the top.
Oh, that was a little.
He was small and he said too small.
Tyler.
I got it.
Okay, pass or miss? That's what the internet was debating. Was this a pass? For Luka, we're going to say it was a pass.
We're going to say it was a pass.
And he's like, he played it off.
He was like, yeah, he was fully into it. What about this
now
one?
Now, this was a pass.
Oh.
What?
I mean, is it possible? Do you think Nikola Jokic's dimes are underrated, Chiné?
No, I don't even know what to describe them. He just does them so well. They're effortless.
It's beautiful, and that's why he's
and his suit back. Game going into the match. Yeah, yeah, I loved it.
And
loved
that's
it.
Why he's the back-to-back MVP.
Ooh. Is that Devontae Graham?
And that is.
With the left.
My goodness.
Rejected.
Off
yeah, that's
the top
Devontae.
Of his fingertips. And Jose Alvarado saying, yes, sir.
Okay, Jalen.
There you go.
Give
just
me a good
you.
Rockets highlight. Oh, dang.
Just
why?
For you today.
Why?
That's going to do it for us here on NBA Today. We will see you tomorrow with Miss Chiné Agumake hosting.
Do you remember?
It's